Hey, this is Michael Shelley, and welcome to this week's podcast. For years, I have been trying to get Jonathan Richmond on this program, and finally, he said yes. He is a notoriously difficult man to get a hold of. He has no cell phone, he has no website, no Facebook, no Twitter, none of that. And he has a touring agent, but no manager. So he's a tough guy, and he doesn't like to be interviewed. He's notorious. I think he does zero press interviews these days. But he said yes to us, and when I met him, he said he liked WFMU. And I had met him once before. My band opened for his band in Glasgow, Scotland, so I'm sure he remembered it. It was a while ago, but I'm sure he remembered it. So I get to sound check where he's playing on Tuesday in Brooklyn at the Bell House. And I wait around, and I introduce myself, and we kind of start talking, and I think we're going to go backstage when he's done with the sound check and sit on two chairs and have a chat. And he says, "Well, why don't you just get out your tape recorder, and we can talk till I have to sound check." So, okay, so I get out the recorder, and I'm following him around on the stage while he brings his own PA system and stands and microphones to the venue and a mixer, and then he plugs straight into their sound system so that they don't have to mix his sound, because I think he just likes to control everything. And so I'm walking around, and he's sort of, not ignoring me, but he's concentrating on what he does, and then he kind of turns his concentration on me very strongly, which is his thing. He's a very intense guy. I still have not processed how I feel about the whole situation. I definitely feel like maybe I did not make the best of this opportunity, this rare opportunity, and I'm sorry for that. But nevertheless, I think what we end up with here is a interesting portrait of this guy, or at least a slight look into who he is or who I am. I'm not sure. I really don't know. But I think you will enjoy this in some way. It kind of makes me squirm a little to listen to it. So here it is. But I do want to remind you that at WFMU.org/Michael, there's a list of upcoming guests, and there's some excellent ones coming up. Peter Guralnick, the author, They Might Be Giants, the band, and Dale Irby, the Texas gym teacher who wore, for 40 years, he wore the same sweater, vest, and polyester shirt in the school pictures. I'll talk to that genius. Check it out at WFMU.org/Michael. Okay, if you have comments about this, email me. I'd love to know what you think. Here is my interview with Jonathan Richmond.
He gave us the wine to taste, not to talk about. Gave us the wine to taste, not criticize. So let's taste it, let's taste it. Don't let's criticize it and waste it. He gave us the wine to taste it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So take a drink, take a drink. Don't talk about and think. Try a drop, try a drop. And stop if you wanna stop. Don't criticize and waste it. He gave us the wine to taste it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. La ta ta ta. La 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 ta. La la la.
Okay, go.
So how are you?
Very good, Mike. Hello. How are your listeners? How are yourself?
I'm good. A little cold.
Yeah, that's just because of the weather.
So this weekend, I was with my daughter at the Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the Van Gogh painting.
Yes.
And I was thinking of you. And in fact, I had this sort of idea. Maybe, Jonathan, we'll just walk in here.
When was this?
Sunday.
Yeah.
And so she said, "Oh, he's the guy with the one ear." I said, "Yeah." And so we said, well, what do you think he was like? And we were looking at the painting, and we were trying to think about what he was like. And it made me think, do you think it's fair that people listen to your music, or anybody's music, or look at their work, and then try to figure out what kind of a person they are?
Sure, it's fair. I don't think it's the way to do it. I think with someone like that, you don't have to figure. You can just feel his painting. Like, especially him. Here, there's a guy who, when you're in the room with enough of his paintings, you actually sort of feel him. So I actually don't think you have to do much figuring. I think you just sit there and feel it. With him especially, I would think.
But do you think it's okay to get more curious?
I think anything's okay.
Well, is that what you do when you... when you see a work of art, or you listen to music, you know?
I'm telling you exactly what I do. In the Van Gogh Museum, I don't try and think of what he was like. I feel what he was like. Huh. I'm telling you exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now, sure, I get curious sometimes, but I'm saying, especially in the case of someone like him, you don't have to get too curious.
Well, your songs are so... they're not too hard to figure out, because just like what you said, your feelings are right there.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's, you know, sort of a fair to say it's kind of a window into you a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, anyways, I think you've been doing this since maybe 1970 or something like that.
Yeah. Started playing even a few years earlier than that.
And where do you remember, like, the first time you heard something like rock and roll?
I loved it as a 5-year-old. I didn't like children's music. I liked, you know, whatever was on the radio, like Little Richard and stuff like that.
And then somebody bought you a guitar, or did you take guitar lessons, or did your folks...
My father had a guitar in his back room when I was about 16, and I had already heard the Velvet Underground by this point, and he said, would you like a guitar? And so I just started trying to copy the sounds that I heard the Velvet Underground make.
So have you ever had a job? Like,
yeah, taxi driver, messenger. In fact, I lived in New York when I was 18, moved down here to be near them, near the had all Andy Warhol art scene. And I had a job as a busboy at Max's Kansas City for a week, which was one of the longest weeks for them especially that they ever had. And I was a messenger on Wall Street, several different firms. I was a messenger on Wall Street the day the New York Mets won the World Series. I was down on Wall Street when all the confetti and people started throwing things out of the big building. I have a job right now. When I don't do this, I build bread ovens.
Really?
Yeah, out of stone. I apprenticed for 5 years with a stonemason in California. And so I build things out of brick and stone.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm telling you.
Do you bake stuff too? Do you bake?
No, I'm a... Just no, a- I'm a mason. Yeah. Build patios. I go to masonry conferences to learn more about R ratings for insulation and things like that, and for just proper building techniques and things.
A friend of mine made his own pizza oven. It's it's just outside and it runs on wood, and it's
there we go. I build wood fired ovens.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I build. And I build patios and steps and things out of brick and stone.
So since 1970,
yeah,
what
I'm listening.
You got a good window to sort of watch America change. What do you notice?
Well, you can't put it in a nutshell, but it's sure different. Get more specific, maybe I can help.
I don't know. Restaurants, people, nightclubs.
Oh, from my.
Like, what are you doing a day off? What do you guys do?
From a musician standpoint, like, the way things have changed that I've noticed since 1970 is the loudest bands in the world of 1968 or 70, you wouldn't even hear now. Because no one used to mic anything hardly through the PA system. You know, there's those famous old pictures in the 60s of those big bands playing through, one little column on one
even
side,
the
and one
Beatles
other.
Had right. Tiny little short.
Well, it wasn't considered tiny for them. Yeah. It was considered big. It's just that now everything is, like, no one. The room we're in now has more watts. How many watts in this PA system, Jeff? About?
Oh man, let me. 15,000.
A couple grand.
Is that all? Most of them have more net. Not.
I have to look at the specs.
Even if it's only as little as 2,000, which is what he's saying, for a room this size, no one ever had 100. People had 50. These were the biggest groups in the world. So I think one of the differences, things have not just gotten louder, but a funny different kind of louder in general. That's one thing.
I thought 10 would be about.
I think you're right. Definitely changed the way bands play and the way guitar players play, and then the way drummers, you know, just because everything's so loud, then everyone has to turn up, and then it's like a.
But it doesn't have to. No one has to.
It's true. There's no
just
law.
Different ways of approaching it. It's what people a lot of times do, but in fact, it enables you, in some ways, to be really quiet. The systems are so loud, you can whisper into them. It enables us to be really quiet on stage, for example, our show.
I've seen you sometimes bring your own PA, I think, like the Mercury Lounge. Did you bring mixer?
Yeah.
Yep, we do it all the time.
You just go on into the house speakers, right, like you see here.
So Jeff just kind of puts this in.
Yeah, through the things, and he makes sure that everything works right as the house man.
He gives the house board.
Oh, you just balance it here, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what we do everywhere. So you were right. You did see that.
So I think probably at your busiest, maybe you might have done almost 200 shows a year, which is a lot to do. How many these days are you doing?
At that time, I think I did about 150. I've cut it down, I think, to around 100, 110, somewhere in there.
That's still a lot. I mean, I assume you still do it because you love it?
When I stop loving it, I will stop. You will know there will be no more shows. There will be, if I discovered in a mid-tour that I don't love it anymore, I'll finish out that tour and I'll tell the folks that's the end. It'll have to be that fast. When I discover I don't love it, I'll fill out whatever commitments there are and then that'll be it.
But you don't foresee that, do you?
Do I have to get a job?
Tommy, nothing is that drastic.
Oh, okay.
We'll work out something.
Can help with the ovens, maybe. I don't know if your mind works this way, but do you foresee, you know, forever?
Even the sun ain't going to be forever.
Not forever.
Right?
Right. So when you guys come to town, do you go to museums? Do you, like, or if you come somewhere, like, you've been to New York for years and years, is there things you want to do or, you know, restaurants you want to go to or museums you need to go to?
We usually don't have quite that much time, even on a 2 days thing. And we keep in mind that we've been traveling all the time, a lot of times 500 miles a night between shows. So a lot of times the chance to be out of a vehicle and just walk and rest is, you know, quite a relief from all the travel, you know.
Go on. So tell me about writing songs. Is it the kind of thing where you take your guitar and sit down with a notebook and say, I'm going to try to write some songs? Or does it just, you know, you're washing the dishes and idea comes to you?
The second one. I can't do the first one. The second one is the one.
Just
the
lightning.
First one doesn't happen. The second one does happen.
And do you write them in your head, or you grab a guitar?
Sometimes I write them down. Like, I got notebooks full of ideas, but those are things that I've written down. They would come to me, like you said, just here and there, and I write down ideas. But I don't write them. Nah, guitar is just to arrange them. The guitar, song's already made before the guitar shows up.
When you were, I don't know, before you ever had a band, did you think, I'm going to, you know, when I grow up, I want to play rock and roll music?
What I thought I was first going to do was be a baseball player, then an architect, then I realized, I thought I'd maybe be a painter, and then painting was as a teenager, like painting in oils, And then I heard the Velvet Underground, and that's actually probably changed it. I probably thought, wow, they're making color with sound. And then I didn't put all these words in my into a practice, like, but that's probably what happened.
You still paint?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I guess we've seen
some. And when I make a bread oven, it's sort of like painting in 3D. It's sort of one of the things, like when I'm working with rock and mortar and stuff, it's like you're painting. You're seeing the proportions. You're seeing the color combinations of the stone and even the mortar, and you work with it. And so you make sure the shape is telling your story. And it has to stand up. So it's like painting with a difference. This has to stand up.
It has to last. Mm-hmm. The songs last, too.
Some of them.
Well, a lot of your songs last. I mean,
a lot of them don't.
But you've been consistently putting out records now a really long time, and I think for a while people were sort of stuck on some of your earlier records, but I think now it's so easy to look at this kind of whole catalog, even though not all the records are in print right now, but I don't know, for me anyway, I can look at the whole catalog and sort of see, you know, like, I guess what I was talking about earlier, like, I see you, you know, I see you as a 19-year-old kid, and I see you in your 20s and your 30s and 40s, and, you know, as you get older, and what your interests are, and I don't know, how your influences change.
Oh, let me see. Here it is. I see it as... You know, it just now I feel like now, and I don't even think about like past songs necessarily. I just play whatever comes. It might be old, it might be new.
Did you say to yourself, I don't know, did you make not exactly rules, but sort of ideas of this is the type of performer, this is the type of artist I want to be, who's honest or who tells stories or who doesn't. You're very unique. But
no, I'm not. Actually, I'm a throwback. I'll tell you. No, I would know. Believe me. If I tell you I'm not
unique.
I'm
not sure.
Listen to me. I'm talking to you. Like, I stole a lot. I stole from everyone, from the Velvet Underground, from the Stooges, and the Kinks. Then I stole back from the old rock and roll guys. And then I went back. And in a lot of ways, I'm actually a throwback to another era. The French, what you call a chansonnier. Like, it's a certain style of thing that people like Maurice Chevalier did and Charles Trenet did. So, thanks. I'm glad you like what I'm doing. But maybe unique in some ways, but certainly not in all. Still take from lots of folks.
Certainly. I mean, rock and roll is one of those things that kind of grows on itself.
Which I don't even think I play anymore.
All the time.
I also think we change so fast that the rhythms we use... A lot of times are changing every few months, what we play together. Like, we don't even sound like when we met, me and Tommy. We sound way different, so.
But the way, certainly I think, the way you choose to present yourself to an audience and the trueness to your message and yourself is unique. Most people don't think about their feelings so much, I think.
I disagree with you, but...
Well, most people who are making records today, I guess.
I don't know. I think there are probably a lot.
So you're writing songs.
I write them. I say I make them up.
You make them up. It comes to your head, and you kind of work it out. And you and Tommy maybe work it up, or you just start playing it, and Tommy comes behind you. Your guitar playing is... I've always loved it. Always. There's so much going on in it. Is it something you practiced, or just something that's slowly gotten better, or is it where you want it to be?
Well, I don't know. I just play. Like, I don't know whether it's slowly gotten better. Around the house, the people there don't think it's necessarily gotten better.
Jonathan, will you stop playing that guitar?
There we go. Thank you. You could quote them on that.
So are you a guy who's got a guitar in his hands a lot of the time?
Yeah. That's That's for sure.
No, I've always thought you were a special guitar player.
I would sure like to play, let's put it that way. That's good, because that's what we're going to do real soon.
So do you have a record player that works?
Yes, absolutely. Records. If you're going to listen to recorded music, records and tape and stuff.
So do you buy records? You go to the library or thrift shops? Or?
Both. All of the above.
So what are you listening to lately?
Let me think. A lot of stuff. I've been listening to Jose Feliciano on record. I've been buying Jose Feliciano records.
He's a great guitar player.
Yeah, fabulous guitar man. And beautiful singer.
So does the folks,
I got time for two more.
The folks who live in your house, are they like turn those Jose Feliciano records off, or is it?
Yeah, it's a mixed. How can I put it? No one hates that stuff. But I, there are some things that I'm more likely to listen to, with sometimes I listen with everyone, and sometimes I just listen. Let me see what else I'm listening to lately. Music from India. A lot of music from Spain, France still. I see old French music, a lot of times I'll still buy it. What else did I buy? Well, listen to things like West Side Story. Listen to all kinds of things. Listen to the classical guys from the, like Satie and Ravel and Debussy, that era of music. Manuel de Falla from Spain. Around that time period of Ravel and Debussy, folks like that.
So, I guess, are you happy? And what makes you happy?
This is still good. If this is no good, I won't do it no more.
But it makes you happy as a person to do this?
How are you happy? If you're not happy as a person, then how happy are you? Are you happy like as a tomato or something?
No. But just, you know, just on what level of happiness, I guess, is my question.
I don't know. How many levels are there? Let me see. Hold on. Don't go away.
You know, there's
something
in a good mood.
The only thing I'm
bummed
about is I left my outlet, and I packed it, so I have no one to blame but myself. And we went to, where did we go? Lowe's or Home Depot? Where did we get that?
Lowe's.
Yeah, and I bought this big old outlet, you know, like... $30 for
a good one.
Like for a thing outlet, very stable, perfect for my electronic accessories, and it's gone. So other than that, though, I'm happy.
Well, maybe you'll play there again, and it'll be waiting.
Maybe
for
I'll
you.
Play at Lowe's, and it'll be waiting on aisle 17.
It's a Lowe's point in our career.
Ah! Oh dear.
Okay, we better wrap it up there. All right. It's degenerate.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
No faith in yourself. It bothers me now to watch you. You got no faith in your own self. You listen more to your friends than to your own heart inside. Well, you listen to them, oh, but you hide. You don't got nothing to be afraid of. You're not as bad as you think. And you're always putting yourself down.
Put yourself down.
But I'm just gonna tell you that I like you. Darling, you always put yourself down. But I like you. That's all I came to say. Then there's no need to think that other people can do things better than you can do them, 'cause you got the same power in you. I got faith in you. Sometimes you don't have it in yourself, but I got faith in you. And our time is right now. Now we can do anything we really want to. Our time is now, here in the morning of our lives. And it ain't just me who thinks so, dear. I ask my friends. Now, Leroy and Asa and D-Sharp, tell her not to be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Tell her it's okay.
tell her it's all right.
It's all right, it's all right.
Bring it down. And our time is now. We can do anything we really believe in. Our time is now, here in the morning of our lives. I want to say a little more. Dear, I asked Leroy and Ace and D Sharp and they said,
yeah, yeah.
Don't you love her too?
Yes, we do.
Then tell her she's okay.
You're okay.
That's right,
dear.
Okay. You're all right. Tell her she's all right.
You're all right, you're all right.
That's right. You're okay, dear. There's nothing to feel inferior about. You can do it. And our time is now. We can do anything you really believe in. I know it. Our time is now. Here in the morning of our lives. Our time is right now. You can do anything you set your heart on. Our time is now, here in the morning of our lives. We're young now. Right now is when we can enjoy it. Now's the time for us to have faith in what we can do. No need to fear, 'cause now's the time to have faith in what we can do. Good night.